Scope is filmed before a live studio audience.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show commissioning butter sculptures of the hosts. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope...
The Scope makes its picks for the fall TV season, Earl stops by to talk about reptiles on an airborne conveyance, and Shane attempts to eat everything on a stick for a solid week.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Episode 11 of The Scope is coming to you, our faithful listeners, right at you. Thank you. It's a packed house. You know, last week I felt a little underwhelmed by my performance, so I'm going to bring it like I've never brought it before this week.
Good for you.
In terms of bringing it, though, you have to talk about the people that will help me, so let's go around the room. As always, Adam, superstar, wearing his Where the Wild Things Are t-shirt, child at heart. How you doing, Adam?
I'm doing well.
Doing great. And excited. Jared?
All right. I guess I'm great.
Shane has spoken for
you. I'm always upgrading. Jared, thank you for coming.
You'll get no help from me. I'll try to sabotage you at every turn.
Yeah, I know you always do.
You say sabotage, I say sabotage.
Yes. I'll say it either way. And finally, we have the ultimate swinger. It's Mr. Earl. He's in. Friend of the show. He's going to be adding to the conversation today about many things, I'm sure. Thank you, Earl, for stopping in.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Last minute stop in, if you will.
Last minute stop. How did
How did that happen? Now I heard you had plans.
Well, I had plans. Yeah, the wife wanted to go to the Renaissance Festival, and I said, you know what? I'm going to be on the Scope. Could they ask me? So the hell with you.
Was it a violent issue?
Yeah, they're taking her to the hospital, and they're going to drive her over to the Renaissance Festival.
All right.
Should be good that way.
Did you have to roll a die to see if it was okay to go? Do you have a saving throw?
No, but that's not a bad idea. I think I'm going to try that. Thank you, Adam.
There we go. We're already starting big.
Woo!
Well, one of the reasons why Earl is here today is because he's going to be, as I said, adding to the conversation. And
oh, yeah.
I've had I've had a pretty big 2 weeks in terms of weddings. So that will be something that will definitely come from Earl. I don't even know what I'm talking about, but he's going to be talking about weddings too. But I'll talk about my experiences in terms of the whole nuptial thing in the last 2 weeks. So
bring it,
people out there. If you're not interested in weddings, please fast forward past this, because this is going to be hot and heavy for the first segment of the show. I'll get going. So the right after the Scope show last week, I had to start my wedding preparation for both Earl's wedding and then the wedding of someone that Carrie worked with, who, you know, I didn't really know her that well. I've kind of hung out a little bit, but
Carrie knew her well enough to get invited.
Carrie knew her, and this was a wedding that was out of town, so it was one of those things where we had to plan, you know, rent a hotel room, drive up to the middle of nowhere, and I got to sit at this wedding, and I didn't know anybody there. And that's always the most fun experience, as you guys know. You just sit there, and people are looking at you. And the interesting thing about this wedding was that everybody there seemed to be kind of rich. You know, it was a doctor's wedding. So here I am. I'm feeling like I'm just a scumbag sitting there who can barely scrape by.
Sitting over there, your torn jeans and your worn-out shoes.
Exactly. And I don't, you know, people know that I judge. That's part of who I am, and it's really difficult when you go into a situation and you're thinking everybody's looking at you like you're some poor boy who should probably be parking their car rather than sitting with them. But
we're standing over here in the corner judging people.
Thank you, Jess. And you know, I wish I had a lot of great things to say about this wedding. You know, great experiences and things like that. And I don't, not because they're bad people or it was a bad wedding. It was just a pretty standard type of thing. You know, good food, decent people, but you know. That was really about it.
Peeing into a lake.
I'm not going to talk about that.
All right.
Okay, maybe I will. Maybe I will.
Was there an open bar? Well, I guess if there was peeing there into a lake.
There definitely was an open bar.
Definitely
but,
an open lake.
But, you know, this wedding, it was up northern Minnesota in kind of a resort area. So, you know, we rented a hotel room that was, you know, very woodsy and stuff like that. The people that were running the wedding.
Some people call that a campground.
A campground, yes. But, you know, it's at this resort, so everybody got up there a day early and went and did all these woodsy things. And one of the things we participated in was a big pontoon ride. So we get on this giant flotilla, a bunch of girls and myself, because pretty much everybody that went up there were Carrie's friends and not really their husbands or boyfriends. So I was a man among fantastic women. And yeah, so we go out in the middle of this lake, and within 5 minutes of being out there, what do you think we hear?
I've got to use the bathroom. I've got to use the bathroom. I have to go so bad. You know, we're probably 10 minutes away from any dock. So initially, initially the idea was we're just going to pull over to somebody's house, you know, just dock up to their dock and just ask if they can use the bathroom, because I guess that's the courteous thing to do. I don't know.
Maybe that's just what they do in that part of the world.
But we decided, and I helped make this decision, that the girls might as well just, you know, pull down their pants and stick their butts off the side of the boat and away they go. So
you helped make that decision?
I helped make that decision. We didn't want to go dock. So, that's pretty much what happened throughout the entire boat trip. You know, every 5 minutes or so, a girl would pull her pants down, stick her buns off the side of the boat, and let her rip. So, and I was not allowed to look.
Really?
Yes. Yes, because I wanted.
That was explicitly stated? No. Shane, you are not allowed to look.
I was, so.
Now Carrie will never worry about you cheating with those girls. They're ruined for you.
Yes, I mean, that's just way beyond.
I like how they assume that you would want to watch that.
Yeah. Yeah, so Shane, keep your eyes off the... You know, urination. The spontaneous.
The coochie.
Anyway, so that probably was, number one. That was the highlight of that particular wedding. And a week later, we had wedding number two. Did we not?
Yes, we did.
And this is a little bit more of an interesting wedding because both Jared and I participated. And it was the wedding of Earl and his now wife, Holly. So, cheers galore. Number one, it was a Friday wedding, Earl. I like that a lot because that gives me the whole weekend to party hardy.
First thing we thought of because we said, what do we hate about weddings? And we knocked them all out.
Yep, absolutely. So, you know, it wouldn't say a long lead up to it, but, I mean, we definitely had things that we did together. We had the bachelor party, which was, you know, pretty much sitting around drinking beer.
Apple corn.
Mm. A nice, delicious apple liqueur.
Dead whores. No?
Yeah,
none of those.
We don't talk.
Those are your parties, Adam. It was kind of a nice, smooth roll up to the whole festivities, and you know, we picked up our tuxes on Wednesday night without. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any problems. Earl, you had a sizing issue.
Yeah, I had a tux coat that was a size too big. They just shortened the sleeves on it, so my coat tail pretty much went past my knees.
Yes, and you were wearing the conductor's
uniform.
So
I had the whole conductor's frock coat with the coat tails and. Little bow tie and
how many requests for Mozart and the Brandenburg Concerto did you get that
Not
night?
A lot, but there were a lot for Wagner.
Wagner, huh?
Or Wagner.
Like Robert Wagner? Yeah, from Robert Heart to Wagner. Heart?
Oh, that one went down.
So, yeah. Okay, well.
And you guys had these nice, when you didn't have your coats on, you looked like you should be valeting cars.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we had a couple requests. I almost drove away with a Porsche.
Sweet.
I was tempted.
Now, if any of you out there know Earl, which he's been on the show so many times that you probably know him better than me.
he is the fourth member of the show.
He is the unofficial, official fourth member of the show.
He's the fourth wall we like to break through on occasion.
Fourth Beatle.
Exactly. Earl, in his fantastic wisdom, decided to hold the event at, I would say, the bastion of riches of Southern Twin Cities area, which is Edina. I mean, it's a very, you know, a lot of money in there. It's kind of been known as the place where all the old people go to retire, the rich old people to retire and eventually die and whatever.
And when I first saw the place, the Centennial Lakes, where we had everything, I was like, there's no way we can afford this. But it was amazingly affordable.
Amazingly? Maybe they knew that you were going to bring something so special to the event that they had to have you there.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Exactly.
As I was saying, Earl is a very unique guy, and you mix that uniqueness with the riches of Edina, and there's bound to be some culture clash. Right. So, yes. The one thing that Earl does in any wedding is he makes it special, whether he's there or participating in it. And this particular wedding, there was one key element, which I was very excited to see how it would play out, and boy, did it play out. It was the Imperial Stormtrooper procession. Thank you. Adam, you would have loved it. The bride came out, and there were stormtroopers to her left and to her right.
Yes, and they gave her away. They said, who gives this woman away? The Empire does, and they gave her a push forward.
They did. They literally pushed her forward, and then they shot her with laser beams.
No, I didn't get that far.
No. No, she made it okay. So the stormtroopers come walking out, and, you know, to help paint a picture, the wedding is kind of outside on these ponds, lakes sort of thing, and there are all sorts of things going on around it. There are people on in little paddle boats. There are people walking on the lake.
There
are
ducks, waterfall, there are people, little sailboats.
And they've got this fantastic mini golf course that was just kind of over this hill off to the side, so if people are playing mini golf, they can kind of look down. And these young hipsters are up there, and they're you know playing their balls, playing with their balls. And they turn around, and they see these stormtroopers come walking out, and they literally freeze. I mean, the entire their mini golf. I don't know if you saw that or all, but
I didn't see it. My back was turned on.
These guys are just like, oh my god, what is going on down there?
People. And meanwhile, there's also a walking path that goes around this lake.
Yeah,
and you know, people would come through, and this path naturally goes through where the wedding is taking place. So every once in a while, you see someone would come up and just kind of stop, not know what the hell's going on, and go the other way.
Absolutely. And the cool thing about it is, I mean, the wedding was taking place in this big open air sort
like
of thing.
Indoor.
Yeah, it was really crazy. But at like the far end of the lake, which is probably, you know, a couple football fields down, there were people with telephoto camera lenses. They're taking pictures of what's going on. They're like snapping.
I didn't catch any of this.
Yeah,
it's like they're bird watching.
You had other things on your mind.
Yeah, so. Busy
getting married.
Exactly. Taking requests. So yeah, I thought that was sort of interesting. And the stormtroopers were a big splash. I was concerned that the audience that were there, maybe they weren't sure what was going to happen and right. how to take this, but I think everybody kind of took it.
It was all in the presentation.
Yep.
Did a lightsaber battle break out at any point in time?
No, I banned that. It was right on the invitation.
Did you really?
No, I didn't.
Oh. I missed that part.
it was kind of interesting, Earl, because it was more of a Flash Gordon-themed wedding, which in itself was kind of a strange event because... You know,
who remembers Flash Gordon?
Yeah,
I do.
Well, Flash Gordon was a very, very important, integral part of who they are at this
right.
point. So
that's how we met at in a weird way.
But I was impressed that you could merge that together with Star Wars, and it seemed and felt seamless.
Yeah. So, well, the problem is Flash Gordon was so tough to translate into a wedding.
Yeah.
And Star Wars seemed to work a little easier, but we had kind of a mix.
I mean,
of
I've read a number of wedding magazines that Star Wars is the is the obvious choice for
yeah,
a
and
wedding.
I know. I couldn't get those
the Martha Stewart weddings
Red Guards from there.
Yeah,
no
but what I thought was good was there was enough geeky elements there to appease people who like us who are you know persuaded towards that. But it was still more straightforward enough so that the bulk of the populace who was going to be there didn't feel like they were at some sort
exactly.
of weird event.
They could smile and have a good time, and they didn't seem too creeped out.
Yeah,
or
my dad got a kick out of it. When he saw the stormtroopers, I didn't think he was going to start laughing, but he was on the floor laughing.
Your dad has accepted who you are at this point, I think.
Yeah, I would hope so.
I think he's said, you know, I had my years to try to mold him and sculpt him into what I thought he would be, and he took it in his own direction, and you know what? I'm okay with that.
You know, the one time my dad did look at me in failure, and I'm embarrassed to admit this, but just for the fun of the scope, I will bare my soul.
Wow.
It was Scopestastic exclusive.
Terry Starr, who...
No, you're supposed to talk over this. This is dramatic.
I'm sorry. I didn't have my list of rules. Reverend Terry Starr, who married us, she gives us one of those little breath mint sheets of paper things that you put on your tongue.
Yes.
I've never had one before,
cool
so I had no idea how to work them. My dad takes one.
Did
and
you
he
put
puts
on
it
your
on
butt, didn't you?
No, I didn't. No, I knew you put
not
it...
Not a suppository.
I knew it was a oral fixation that needed to be operated. But my dad took it, put it on his tongue. He was good. I did it, and it lumped up, and I'm like, bruh. And my dad's looking at me like, what's wrong with you?
My son is a failure. He cannot
my son is
maneuver
it was literally
a breath
that look. Everything I've ever done didn't matter. But the fact I couldn't have the little Listerine sheet of paper in my mouth and do it right.
Wait, why? I don't understand why she gave you one of those.
Because, you know, it's like a tradition, Adam. At every wedding, right before, everybody gets breath mints. I even told Jared, make
really?
Sure you bring
which
your
which doesn't make sense because all you do is walk up to the front and then separate, and you're not breathing on anyone. So who needs fresh breath?
But in Earl's wedding, he did have all the groomsmen and the maids of honor kiss each other.
Whoa.
So that was
a big
makeup. That was the other thing.
Okay.
And Adam would have been happy, too, because we did the whole Mazel Tov crush the cup thing.
We did actually smash a glass.
But Adam's already proclaimed himself the worst Jew ever, so
right,
he probably
so,
wouldn't care.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I think...
Did anyone carry you on a chair above their heads?
No, I wanted that, but nobody did it.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be in the cards, but it didn't happen.
No.
Well, I'm very frail and slight, so for me to help out in that would be a disaster. I could be the chair.
I broke my collarbone.
I could be the chair, you know.
Come on, just walk it off, Shane. You'll
That's
be okay.
Right.
Now, to be fair, though, we did have a lot of the Flash Gordon music playing during the ceremony.
You did. You did.
And we were quite happy with that.
And, well, let's fast forward past the ceremony and get to the actual dinner and the event.
And the cake.
The cake.
And talk about sort of the interesting things that happened during that fantastic dinner and cake. I don't know if you know about this, Earl, but as tradition goes, the best man is always supposed to give a speech for the wedding. And this year, the boys, the groomsmen, gave your best man a challenge for the speech. We wanted him to work in a special word into the speech and make it seem seamless. And the word that we came up with was NATO.
So, well, I thought that was a weird part of
technically
that.
Not a word.
Yeah.
But still.
That, right. You know, that's some sort of phrase. And he was very confident. He actually did work in NATO.
And so he was so confident, he was like, got it. Immediately, he knew exactly how to work it in.
And then when he goes, you know, he said something like, you know, it's so important that...
The army couldn't stop it.
That the Air Force couldn't stop it. That NATO couldn't stop it. And then in the background, you hear Earl go, NATO? He literally did. It was quite funny.
So, we all knew what was going on, of course.
So the NATO challenge came across perfectly. So thank you to your best man, Crazy Ray, for that.
Yeah, Rock and Roll Ray.
Rock and Roll Ray.
I'll put a plug in for him right now. Rock and Roll Ray, director of Mondo Colecto. Check it out. The movie will be released this
He's
September.
Already plugging. Look at this
Rockandrollray.com.
Rockandrollray.com.
Our five listeners will be happy to check it out.
You've got to check it out.
Other things of note. Guy who has not been on the show, one of your groomsmen, went up and performed the Humpty Dance, word for word, no script, no teleprompter, nailed it.
Improvisation, had his little dance going, surrounded by women.
Got the whole crowd going, women went nuts over it.
So that was good. And finally, so we can kind of wrap this segment up and move on to the next thing, my wife kind of described your wedding in a few sentences, which I think I need to sort of repeat.
She said,
I've never been to a wedding... Where people have had a choreographed dance to the Newhart theme, let alone a wedding that's actually played the Newhart theme. Period.
Do we have the Newhart theme on?
We don't have it. So, Adam, that's what you missed. Your opinion.
I'm sad I missed it. I'm kind of speechless. No, I'm not sad I missed it because I just would have felt awkward, I think.
I would have had you.
You
could have
jumped in on the Newhart dance.
The Newhart dance.
It would have been kind of like the first
new craze.
The first wedding that I went to. You didn't know a lot of people there, but.
Yeah.
So it goes. Well, let's change gears, shall we?
Sure.
The other big event this week, which I feel probably eclipsed your wedding, was the Teen Choice Awards played on Fox this week.
I believe they did a scripted dance to the Newhart theme.
They did. They totally outdid you.
Crap.
Who ripped off who? And the only reason I'm bringing this up is for two reasons. Number one, big performance by K-Fed, Kevin Federline, Britney Spears' white trash husband.
Please give a warm welcome to my man, Kevin Federline.
Yeah. Teen Choice makes some noise, y'all! Federation Records in the building! It's time to get crazy, y'all! From the front all the way to the back. Put your hands up. Make some noise, y'all. Come on.
That whole intro wasn't even Kevin Federline. That's the hilariousness of it. So we'll play Kevin in the background. Big coming out party. This guy, a lot to say in his rap. Mostly about how rich he is and all the cars he has in his garage and how people hate him for all his money. The irony being that he doesn't have money. It's his
his egg donor
who he has impregnated twice. Some say intentionally so he can lock her in.
His sperm
wait.
Very good.
K-Fed's flowing now.
Okay.
Oh, maybe not. They're just yelling for him to make some noise.
You have to wait for the piano to kick in.
Yep.
Is that Pete Diddy shouting?
No, it's some guy who's probably... Oh. Off the block, but not before I made them chop the top and throw some 20 shoes. You
know what? Home, that's hot. Get low, Cass. Grows four bites to eat. No tuxedo.
Wow.
Mother Goose has better rhymes than this.
Yeah. Raise your hand as... raise your hands in the
that
air.
Was the whitest rap insult I've ever heard in my life.
Yes, I succeeded.
Very good. So K-Fed, wowing everyone, and he said he was very happy with this performance, and he is his own harshest critic. So.
Okay.
I will say that Popo's Al song is catchy, and I don't know why he didn't perform that one.
You're off the show for that.
Do we have that?
I don't think we have Popo's Al. No. Is that even on his album? I don't know.
I heard it was supposed to be a big joke, but...
Well, I think this is the big joke.
No kidding.
This is the big joke.
Did you hear that Jessica Simpson asked to kiss Britney Spears' belly, and Britney said no?
I heard about that. Yeah, it really hurt Jessica's feelings.
Yes.
She's the only Madonna.
Why would you do that? Why would you go up to anyone and ask if you could kiss their belly, first of all?
I don't know.
And why would you be insulted
if
someone
sense
says,
of boundaries.
Says no?
Being a minority, I mean, all things considered, I still have the hots for Britney Spears, so I'll kiss any part of her I can.
Even now?
I don't know. Now it's just crazy. I don't know.
She's not. I don't.
I'm going through an identity crisis. Christina Aguilera looks good now.
You're getting older.
I'm getting old.
You know, the thing about Miss Britney Spears is that, you know, she's been chewing a lot of gum lately on television. I heard this rumor that before she went out to introduce her husband, producer of the show came up to her with an ashtray and asked her to take her gum out, and you know, so she could go on stage and properly introduce the act. And she said, "I can't take it out. Gum chewing's become a trademark."
You've got to be kidding me.
Something like that. That is the rumor. That's her trademark, to look like an idiot. So, and like you're chewing your grass.
Does she have like sponsorship from Wrigley's company or
the Doublemint? She's a Doublemint twin. That's what they call her breasts.
Chewing. If it's a trademark, then we should know what she's chewing.
Yes. Well,
bubble yum.
Probably.
I'm sure it is
a big sponsorship.
Bubble-ish.
I bet it's Fruit Stripe. She seems like
Fruit Stripe. There you go. My man Adam kicking into gear.
There we go. You two getting a little cozy over there.
Yeah. Anything else going on with the Teen Choice Awards?
The only other thing I want to talk about was the fact that it was so overly sexualized that it made me uncomfortable watching it. I'll just kind of spell it out for you. Right in front of the podium at the Teen Choice Awards.
A giant penis.
They had a hot tub, and they had it full of, like, I think the girls probably were 18 and above, but clearly it wasn't really played that way. But it was like young girls in bikinis sitting
that's
in front
amazing.
Of the podium.
So you're
wow.
saying you wouldn't let your teen
for the Teen
this.
Choice Awards?
Yeah, for the Teen Choice Awards.
Oh,
and it got even creepier because, you know, famous people, like some of the famous dudes maybe from Seventh Heaven or whatever, would come out and they would be sitting and kind of macking on these girls on camera and talk to them.
From Seventh Heaven.
From Seventh Heaven. I don't even know what Seventh Heaven, but just shows that are out there that teens would know that we wouldn't. So.
Okay.
So that was a little creepy, and you know, everything was very about sex and overly.
Well, there was that best coitus on Fox Award, so that makes sense.
So yeah, it was
best
it was,
on-screen screw.
There we go, pushing it to the next level.
Yeah,
Jared. So yeah, it was.
Do I care? One of the songs has swearing in it coming up. I don't care anymore.
Yeah, a little uncomfortable for me, especially now that I'm a father and I see my child, and I'm thinking, you know, when she's 10 or 11 or 12. And those are the people that are really watching that show, not 17, 18, and 19-year-old kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How is that going to impact her?
She'll probably be one of the billions and billions voting.
Yes. So there you go.
Now, was this MTV or Nickelodeon? Or?
It was Fox, but I don't
PBS.
Know.
PBS.
Wow.
The Wii Channel is what it was.
Wii.
So, yeah. There we go. That was my week in general. And I also went to the State Fair yesterday. I'm not going to get too much into it because I know Adam is going this week, and I look forward to listening to him talk about it. What his expectations are. He's never been to the State Fair.
What?
He does believe
you don't want animals being born.
Yeah. Adam told me that most of the people that go to the fair, at least in his opinion, probably wear overalls and have straw hats.
Straw hats, right. And then they pull individual straws from said hat and put it in their mouth. And
exactly.
And they do. Definition of a hayseed.
Right.
Anyway, so there we go. That's been our week, our 2 weeks in review. Very exciting. Congratulations all on the wedding.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for inviting us. Thanks for keeping Adam away.
Yeah, thanks for not inviting me.
And a quick shout out, thanks to the Knights of the Northern Realm. They are the Stormtroopers.
And the North American Trade Organization.
Very good.
Treaty Organization?
Yeah.
Is that what the T is?
I believe it is Treaty.
Treaty? Treaty.
Yes.
You know, we had a debate, is NATO
more of a Warsaw Pact,
outdated?
Man.
Do we need them anymore? And that's probably a debate for a different scope show.
Yes.
One that we will never do. Coming up on this edition, number 11 of The Scope. Got a lot of stuff. We've got our 2006 fall TV preview. This is going to be a great, great little bit. Adam.
Punches will be thrown.
Punches will be shown and thrown.
No, thrown. I won't show them.
Jared, Adam, and myself will be going over the fall TV schedule. Probably not with a fine-tooth comb, but enough to give all you listeners out there a good idea what's coming out, what you should be looking for, what is going to fail miserably, and
according to us. Yes, it's all about us. And Earl will probably be chiming in and saying how much we're stupid for watching so much television.
I'd never say that about you gentlemen.
You'd only think it.
Who are the gentlemen?
No one.
Exactly.
We will be reviewing two things this week. Television's Prison Break, speaking of fall television.
There you go.
Just came back on. It's the first show to resume its television schedule, followed up by Snakes on a Plane, the super blockbuster that is mowing them down at the box office.
You need to define blockbuster.
Oh, yeah. not doing so well, but we'll find out if it is worth your time.
I think we're just about at the edge of the bubble as far as still getting our content on there and being relevant.
Yep, sorry, guys.
It's a week late, and that's about as late as we dare go.
A week late and a dollar short, but since the show costs little to make, it does not matter.
Well, there could still be people wondering.
Okay, well, we'll fill them in. As usual, we also will cover some news, the latest comings and goings of Hollywood and any other things, as well as tell you folks what is coming soon in the world of pop culture.
Hell
so
yeah.
Please stick around. Earl, Jared, Adam, thank you. Let's get this show going. This is The Scope.
You've got questions. Tony's got answers. It's time for Ask Tony. Dear Tony, being extremely shy and nervous, I'm having a tough time meeting girls. Do you have any advice for me? Signed, Bashful in Buffalo.
Dear Bashful, being a suave and unusually charismatic guy, I've never experienced the horror you've described, but I think I have a few words for you. Let's address the facts, Bashy. You've written to a half-assed podcast looking for love advice and some sort of miracle cure. Clearly, there must be something wrong with you. So here's what you should do. Stay in your mommy's basement, tapping away on that computer machine while watching old reruns of Mork and Mindy and the A-Team. Leave the tail chasing to the professional sport. Good luck with celibacy and keep listening to The Scope. If you would like me, Tony Partington, to impose my advice on you and set you on a path to glory, send your tales of woe and misery to asktony@thescopeshow.com. I promise not to be too destructive, but let's face it, the truth hurts. And it hurts some of you more than others. Now, back to The Scope.
This is The Scope, everybody. Episode 11. The show keeps chugging along. As I teased earlier, it's time for the fall 2006-2007 television preview. So let's play some sound effects and get right into it after the music finishes.
Technically, fall would only be 2006.
Yeah, well, okay, the television schedule, 2006-2007. Jared, fancy it up quickly.
It's a Scoptacular Scopesclusive!
Very nice.
There you go.
So the format of this show will be similar to our television wrap-up from a few shows ago when we kind of broke things down into categories and then we each gave our opinions on them and educated the masses. We've got probably 10 or 11 categories. We'll see if we get to them all this week. If we don't, forget it.
Oh, we will.
Oh, we will.
Yeah, we'll just move through it.
So let me read my pre-typed message and see what it says. Now it's time for the Scope Fall 2006 TV Preview. We're going to break down all the shows worth your time and the shows that shouldn't have made it past pilot. We've broken the preview down into a number of categories with each Scope host getting a pick. So sit back, take notes, and get ready to learn more about the new TV schedule than you could ever imagine. Now on to the first category.
I like it when you assume your reading voice.
Thank you. Isn't that good? So let's start off with the first category. I'm going to call it the most anticipated comedy of the 2006 television season. We'll start with Jared. What's exciting you out there?
I'm actually only adding one comedy, so it was an easy choice. I'm going with 30 Rock on NBC.
And what is that show about?
Oh, sure. Throw me on the spot here. It is a is a sitcom. It is behind the scenes of a sketch comedy show.
The Girly Show, it's called.
The Girly Show? Mm-hmm. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think they've
changed. I don't even know.
I think they've changed the format a little bit, so it's a little bit different from the other Saturday Night Live type
probably good
behind
idea.
The scenes show. But yeah, go ahead.
But it's got Tina Fey and Tracy Morgan and some other people.
Rachel Dratch.
Yes. And
Alec
that's on,
Baldwin.
What, Tuesday nights at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central?
I've got Wednesday on my list.
Is it?
Yeah, from the NBC
could be Wednesday.
Website.
Guess I'm not prepared. What do you do?
I'll read what's on the NBC website if you like, and then I'll...
Well, don't do that, because then we don't have it for every show, I bet.
Well, I
maybe inconsistent.
Well, okay, forget it. Though.
Whatever.
I killed that.
Adam, what? Adam, grinding.
Let's go to break. Go to break.
Adam, what show did you pick for best most anticipated comedy?
I came up with actually a couple choices for each one in case we were okay. Repeating. So I also chose 30 Rock because there's really not that many.
No.
The only other one that kind of seemed interesting was The Class, but it's a CBS comedy, so I'm going to assume it's going to be bad. So
yeah.
I'm going to go with 30 Rock.
What was The Class about? Do you remember?
kids were all in the same third grade class.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And for whatever reason, their third grade, they have a reunion for their third grade.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what? I don't understand.
Who does that?
Right.
Actually, I was involved in a reunion of third grade. It was the weirdest thing I ever did.
Wow.
Well,
and the,
right. I guess it does
happen. Earl does it, apparently.
I didn't do it. I just went to it.
Oh, you do it.
Really? And how did it go for you?
It was
in 10 words or less?
Thing ever. Everybody got there, and it was really uncomfortable.
You've exceeded your limit. Time's up.
You're like, hey, wow, let's go.
Were people dressed in Stormtrooper outfits?
No, okay. No. That was before I was able to, you know, make
was anyone eating paste?
What he's leaving out is that he was actually only in fourth grade when the reunion for third grade happened.
Oh. Adam, you're good today. You're number one comedy guy.
Yeah, you are. You've taken the crown.
Professional comedian, Adam Sitnik.
Very good. He's got the title. Okay, we'll move on to my choice for most anticipated comedy. Yes, shocker. 30 Rock, NBC.
That sound you heard, ladies and gentlemen, was Earl giving a headbutt to the microphone.
I'm sorry. I don't know my space.
Yeah, it is the Tina Fey vehicle, the show that she is on and the show that forced her from Saturday Night Live, along with Rachel Dratch,
Ooh.
Human Troll.
So basically everybody that couldn't get a job after Saturday Night Live is on this show.
Well, no.
Sure.
The only person that was...
Alec Baldwin's the
Yeah.
Alec Baldwin? Not doing Baldwin's that bad?
The only guy that was not on Saturday yes. Night, that was a previous member of Saturday Night Live that's on the show is Tracy Morgan, that wasn't currently on Saturday Night Live.
Right, well, he was doing good on Saturday Night Live, then he quit and did that show and
the Tracy Morgan
vanished.
Show. Which
I think they asked him to leave at a certain point.
Oh, do you think so?
I would imagine.
They asked him to leave the Tracy Morgan show?
No.
Oh.
What are we going to call it?
Yeah, Shane
the
and
show.
Yeah, the
I don't know,
Shane
but you got
I,
to go.
Shane and I know are good big Tracy Morgan fans.
Yes, we're huge.
He could read the phone book and be on the floor laughing.
So you'll be tuning into 30 Rock, Earl, or not?
I hate Tina Fey.
Okay, there you go.
Wow.
I'll give it a shot,
what?
Though.
Okay, give it a shot. Most anticipated drama of the year. Adam, start it out.
All right. Again, I have a bunch, but so it's hard for me. I guess Studio 60 because mm-hmm. I kind of like the first season of West Wing. That's the only part of it I watched. And Aaron Sorkin is, again... producing or writing. Yeah, writing.
Yep.
What is Studio 60?
Familiar yeah. cast.
Oh, right. It's a dramatic look at the behind the scenes at a late Saturday night sketch comedy show.
Yeah. So it's like the drama version of the comedy.
I thought that was 30 right. Rock. I'm sorry.
That's the problem.
They're very similar in
title,
subject matter. One's a comedy, right. One's a drama.
And the titles are similar, too. They both have
now,
numbers.
What was this girly show? Hang on. I'm really lost now.
Well, I think what happened for the comedy... 30 Rock was initially it was supposed to be a Saturday Night Live. They're behind the scenes of a Saturday Night Live type show comedy. But I think as they got into it, they might have changed it. So they changed the behind the scenes to more of a sitcom-y type of show, which is called The Girly Show.
Oh, okay.
I think that's what
I'm,
it is.
It's
probably a good idea.
If I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. But that's kind of the impression I got when I was doing my research.
Thank
for
you
this.
For taking the break.
Thank you for researching.
The other shows I was kind of interested in, Heroes, which is either going to be good or awful.
Yep. That's the superhero. People get mysteriously start getting superhero powers.
Right.
Done in a realistic
Multiple
manner.
Right. If they can, mm-hmm. well, if they can do it like Smallville, but not have mm-hmm. the worst acting on TV like they do on Smallville, then it might work.
All right.
Kidnapped, which I think will actually be terrible, and 6 Degrees, which no one's really talking about, but I'm kind of interested in. It's a kind of Lost-esque, and everyone involved is connected through kind of weird ways.
Is that the one where they're all in the bank robber?
Nope. That is the Nine, I believe.
Right.
Okay. Well,
which is another one where they're all Lost-esque.
Well, a lot of similar.
We have a category relating to that in a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
My pick for most anticipated show is Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. That I don't know if we got into it, but also stars
Bradley Whitford and
Amanda Peetz.
Yep.
Miss Chandler Bong.
Matthew Perry.
They added the slutty secretary from Ally McBeal. The blonde Jane Krakenowski
the German,
or whatever.
What show?
Okay.
Studio 60.
Studio 60.
Yeah.
The girl that should be in the remake of the Ilsa movies.
I don't know if
sure.
that means. Sure.
Somebody out there knows.
Great. Reference that no one gets.
They'll write a letter.
Steven Weber is the chairman of the board of the
awesome.
Of the network. So
also creator of the Weber Grill.
Yep. So we're... big fan of gas. So that's my pick. Jared, you must have something different, I hope.
No, not really.
See, woo! This is, creativity.
Just go to me last every time, because I actually have multiple ones, just in case.
I also have Studio 60 on the list, but I went with Heroes, just because I'm really curious how this show is going to go. And you know what? I think it's really interesting that we're picking NBC shows.
Yeah.
which is, you know, they've been down in the dumps for the last couple of years now, and they seem to be coming back with some good programming.
Absolutely. And listeners out there, don't think of this as us not doing our research and coordinating. Think of it as
a
very strong voice for the same shows, that these shows you need to watch.
There you go.
Okay, well, let's sneak away from the new shows, and let's talk about most anticipated returning show. So anything that's old, will it be new again for you? Jared.
How many people are going to say Lost?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Lost. Lost is the
number
one. All in
favor say Lost of Lost, say
Lost. I think Lost is probably the universal pick for the scope, so I have a secondary pick, which is Prison Break.
Prison Break.
A show that I've loved since the beginning. I don't care how crazy it gets. I love the show.
Which we will be reviewing later.
And I was very excited. It's already started, but it's also my most anticipated returning show.
I look forward to Lost. I look forward to Lost. I'm also curious to see how they tie up The Office in terms of the kiss heard around the world of Jim and Pam. And I'm curious about what they're going to do with How I Met Your Mother for sitcoms.
Mm, there you go.
Because they kind of left it with interesting.
Still on?
Still on?
Yeah, no, it's a good show.
Earl, it's got heart. Probably not.
That's all I'm at it.
Probably not your cup of tea, but it works when it needs to.
You know,
Adam?
It's like somebody saying Bosom Buddies next season. I'm like, that's still on?
That one is not on.
That is, yeah.
Like when Gary Shandling's show got canceled. That's still on?
20 years too late.
America's Funniest
25 years too late. Adam, please help move this along with your most anticipated
show. So, like you guys, I also have Lost. It's really good serial drama. So, mm-hmm. of course, that's going to be. But so, in order, my other three would be Veronica Mars, The Office, and Smallville. As much as I rail against the show, they left it in a good cliffhanger.
We got to see how that turns out.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, I thought they were done with that.
No.
Wow.
Keeps going.
Okay, well, let's move it along. We've got a lot of categories, a lot of ground to cover.
Keep it rolling.
Let's go to show that's returning but shouldn't be. We'll start with Adam.
I have The Ghost Whisperer, which I think is an easy pick, but maybe it got good ratings. I don't know.
It did, actually. It does do pretty well.
So, for a business decision, I get it. And the other one, same thing, Deal or No Deal, just because other than having, you know, bits on Saturday Night Live making fun of it, I don't know why it really needs to be on TV.
Plastic glove blown up on your forehead, Earl? Great comedy bit or greatest comedy bit?
Man,
hey,
really
he did bring us
Bobby's World.
Of Gizmo.
Best show.
The Voice of Gizmo, yes, and Bobby's
World. I remember the Bobby's World toys coming out, and they tanked.
There we go.
Much like this segment.
Jared, show that you feel should not be on the air.
I picked Dancing with the Stars.
Wow.
You've seen I don't even watch the show, but I've seen the lineup, the likes of Tucker Carlson. And
Tucker Carlson.
And
Harry
and,
Hamlin.
Harry Hamlin.
Have you seen
Joey Lawrence?
Right. Have you seen Joey Lawrence without hair?
Yes, he
so
shaved
creepy.
His head.
I just think they're scraping the barrel. I don't think they should even call it Dancing with the Stars anymore because these people don't qualify.
No, I met Harry Hamlin once, and he's about maybe an inch or two taller than me. He's about
so he's like 4'6", 4'7"?
Yeah, but he couldn't handle. I met him and William Shatner together, and he couldn't beat Shatner.
Are they in a compromising
position?
How many
Oscars between the two of those guys?
Wow.
I'm sure Shatner has a wall of trophies.
He probably does.
Whereas Harry Hamlin is like, I said, wait a minute. Why didn't you stick with Clash of the Titans and go on that stupid law show? And he's like, you shut up.
Wow. Compelling stories as always. Thank you for showing up, Earl.
He's got a hot wife.
He does.
Shane, what did you pick for most?
Actually, I have a little bit of overlap, but some other shows that were not mentioned. I picked The Ghost Whisperer just because it's terrible, and I hate the bangs on What's-Her-Face.
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
She has terrible hair. I also selected 2.5 Men. I don't think I need to say anything about that except that it sucks.
I've never watched it. I just assume that
hey,
it's bad.
We need more John Cryer on TV, so yeah. I disagree with you.
Maybe he should just find a new vehicle then.
Absolutely.
Didn't he have the John Cryer show?
He did have the John Cryer show.
He should bring that back. He should just bring back Ducky.
Did they ask him to leave that?
They probably did. And the last show that I'm going to pick that I think Adam might agree with me on in sort of a bittersweet way would be The O.C., I feel like The OC probably should be canceled.
Yeah.
And the network is not behind it this year because it's only bringing it back with like 16 or 18 episodes. So that usually is the...
Is this season 3 or 4?
Season 4.
Okay.
Jeez.
And what I've heard, some sneak preview stuff on the OC, because the Misha Barton character died, her longtime love interest is going to be freaking out and he's going to be joining like a Ultimate Fighting Championship, fighting in cages. That is true. I've heard it. You heard it from me first. So
excellent.
What I like it when a show knows it's on its last season and they just do all sorts of crazy stuff.
Yeah. Also, like
he's going to be fighting snakes on a plane.
Well, he does get in fights every other episode, so it's the natural culmination of that or progression.
I think that makes perfect sense. So maybe the OC should stick around. Crossing that off our list, let's see. Let's get back to the new shows. Worst new show in your opinion, Jared?
I did do some research on this. I chose the Knights of Prosperity.
Oh, okay. What's that about?
This is a group, you know, and I'm, you're going to be mad at me because I don't know when it's on. I know it's an ABC show. And it's about a group of friends. One of them wants to, is a lifelong dream to open a bar. So apparently he and his buddies get together and they plan this caper to do a little breaking and entering on Mick Jagger's upscale New York apartment.
Mick Jagger will be in this show.
Good for him.
And I believe this is the Donald Lauge's new show.
Who's Donald Lauge?
Donald Lauge?
He was, what was this Fox show?
He did that stupid Steve movie.
The Dallas Steve.
Then he also did Grounded for Life.
Look at that Earl contributing.
Earl,
what a guy.
Jeez.
I'm in here TV, but I know what's going on. Except for if Booze and Buzzies is still on.
I love that Booze and Buzzies.
Booze and Buzzies.
Starring Ruth Buzzy.
Pinwheel.
Adam, pick a show.
Is Pinwheel coming back for another season?
No Pinwheel.
That's been gone for about 25
years. David the Gnome is coming back, though, so we're excited.
Worst new show.
David the Gnome, wow. Digging into the archives.
I have either Vanished or Standoff. I get why they kind of look appealing, but they look just like so much like every other show.
Standoff is that.
I must rebuke because Vanished was good.
Okay. Well, and Standoff is the one with what's his name from Office Space. They're on a team and they do
Sex in the City, Band of Brothers. I can't remember his name, but
Ron Livingston.
Very good.
I like him.
Yeah, he's a charismatic guy, but I'm not sure if that show was going to do it for him.
No.
The show that I picked, and I did some serious research, it's a show called Men in Trees.
Mm-hmm.
Worst title.
Men in Trees.
ABC's on Friday nights, a female psychiatrist who moves to Alaska to get over her philandering ex-husband, Anne Heche's vehicle.
Oh, not another damn Alaska.
Don't worry, it's on Friday. No one will
see
it.
It's on Friday nights. It could, who knows what's going to happen to it, but I think it's going to be a disaster of epic proportions.
You know, one day Alaska is going to break away from America. And they're going to lead a tax on America for making such crappy TV shows about them.
Like, what else?
They don't have the population to support that.
What else?
Northern Exposure?
I don't think that Northern Exposure was considered a terrible TV show.
No, it's considered a good show, actually.
Yeah.
For the first few years, and then once...
Because it was like a quirky drama, right?
Once the main guy left, then it kind of...
I did have my picture taken once with that moose from the show.
Wasn't that created by Allie McBeal guy? Was it created by the Allie McBeal guy?
I don't know his name.
I think so. I know who you're talking about. But
he had like, you know, shows like every year.
Yeah.
I think he also did Lake Placid.
The movie Lake Placid?
Oh, he produced it.
Well, good for him.
Hmm.
Well, let's stick along these lines, and we'll have the worst title for a new show.
Wait.
Okay. Adam,
don't skip the one.
No, I'm moving around.
I was jumping around.
I'll say Men in Trees is the worst new title. That's what I selected.
Smith.
That is another good pick.
Not very descriptive. I went with the Knights of Prosperity.
Very good.
Just doesn't make any sense.
Now, did any of you select best title for a new show?
I did not.
Nor did I.
Okay.
I was in a negative mood.
I didn't even see the slash. Yeah.
I didn't select it either. I just was lazy. So.
Good.
Okay, so there we go.
I'm sure Smith would be my pick for best.
So clearly, if you have a bad title, you should not watch that show. Hottest chick in a new show, Jared.
You know, I did some research on them this morning, and I didn't see a lot. So I went with someone I've actually know of in the past. And I went not Anne Heche. I went with Allie Lauder on Heroes.
She's the Dorito Anne. Girl.
Yes.
Nice. Oh, the Dorito
yes,
girl.
And she
got
was
a job.
In Final Destination, the
Very
first
nice.
One, and yeah. So at least I've heard of her, and so
I'm going to make a show for the Dorito Girl and the GoDaddy Girl.
Very
and,
good.
And they're lesbian porn detectives.
I like that show. I'll watch it. I selected Amanda Peet. I think she's hot.
Hmm, there you go.
What's kind of older hot. She's in Studio 60.
Oh, right.
MILF, yep.
I went with Rachel Dratch.
No.
Wow.
No,
wow. Stunner.
Rachel Dratch. No, I did not.
That was good.
You know, I had the same.
Get on that the rim shot, Jared. You got to have.
I had the same problem Jared had. There's not really, it's not like a year with like super hot chicks there's a lot of pretty girls. They're just, you know, none that
my
I've
problem,
seen before. Yeah. So I went with Sarah Carter, who's in Shark, which I mean, it, no surprise
Shark.
That
that's the
James Woods has a hot chick.
Lawyer show.
Yeah. Co-starring with him.
What is in your name?
She was in, mm-hmm. she was in Numbers last year. So,
okay.
She had a reoccurring role there.
Is Betty White coming back in any new shows?
She was
on the roast.
Just in the Shatner roast.
Right.
Okay, then I guess I can't participate.
No,
nope,
you're out. Let's kind of move on to the summary categories. Let's go most competitive night of television coming up this year. I'll start it off. I actually selected Thursday nights, which is Grey's Anatomy, CSI, Survivor, Deal or No Deal, Office, The Office, Everybody Loves Earl, and The O.C., just because it hits that teen demographic.
Yep.
I think that these networks, especially ABC and CBS, are expecting some fireworks between Grey's Anatomy and CSI. I think they hit at the same time. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the big counter-programming move this year, Grey's Anatomy moving from Sunday nights to Thursday nights. So I think overall that's going to be an interesting night for the Nielsen ratings, and I won't pay attention to it. Jared, yeah. Go ahead.
I took a more personal approach, and I looked at a night where I have the most programming competing for my viewing
All
that
right.
I want to watch. So I pick Wednesday. Wednesday night has a lot of shows. There's actually three shows in the 7 to 8 hour central time.
Can you name those shows off the top of your head?
I believe 30 Rock.
Go ahead.
And Jericho on CBS.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bones on Fox, which I'm still watching, which I enjoy.
Bones, yeah. Indeed.
David Boreanaz.
Is that about a doctor in the future?
It is not about a doctor in the future.
I was trying to think of funny jokes to that.
Star Trek
is it
joke,
about Snoop Dogg coming back from the dead as a pimp?
That's it.
No.
Adam.
Can we mute Earl?
Oh, yeah. We can do that. A request. We need to take a vote.
Put some razzles in his mouth.
that's candy in his gum.
I also, I used the exact same formula that Jared did.
I use the quadratic equation. Well, right.
Shane likes to look at the industry. We take it personal.
I did FOIL, which, as everyone remembers, is first, outside, inside, last. But
good to know.
Doing so also gave me Thursdays like you, Shane. First hour I have, and this will change after I watch two episodes, but I have at the exact same time Smallville, Earl, Everybody Loves Earl, and The Office.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have Survivor, which I will only watch the first couple episodes of because they're dividing up every team by race, just because, you know, for the shock value.
Oh, I didn't hear that, Earl. Yeah. All the tribes will be based on race this year.
There'll be a white one, African American, Asian American, and Hispanic.
Man, we've come so far.
I think it's great.
It will be. Well,
I think
it's
great.
And the Klansmen will be judges.
I hope that nice. they do the categories, like the challenges are like positive.
Yeah.
You know, racist things, like they have a math challenge. You know, so clearly the Asians are going to win that one.
Right. Earl told me
will they have a laundry challenge?
Yeah, and they'll have a tortilla making challenge and then a watermelon eating contest.
Holy crap.
It's always weird when Shane's more racist than
me. And then banking.
You should hear him when he's drunk.
The second hour, Grey's and the OC. And then the last one, 6 Degrees, which I may not watch at all. So
there we go.
There's not really that many nights where there's so many conflicts for me.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the year or the fall season.
Things need to shake out.
Yeah. Or when there's shows that I want to try and then eventually.
For me, Monday has gotten huge as well. Yeah.
I have a lot of TV watching. It's not a lot of overlapping. It's just all the time. That's kind of where I'm at. So I'm worried about it and scared and frightened. And in just a few weeks, Earl, you'll never see me again.
I think it's great that Adam was able to say positive racism.
Okay,
that's good racism.
Wow.
Let's hit an overarching category, strongest network lineup this year. We will start with Adam.
I actually did a very complex breakdown of every night.
Look at him. He's got a whole sheet of numbers.
I graded every network every night on a 1 to 5 scale, five being the highest. So I wound up with NBC and ABC having a tie, which is really weird. And I think it's only because Lost is the only night that I have a 5 out of 5 for anyone.
And you're doing this for your personal strongest lineup.
Yeah, for me.
Okay.
Like Thursday for NBC with The Office and Earl. I love Earl. Well, I don't really love Earl, but The Office.
Everybody loves Earl.
This Earl or any Earl. The Office kind of bumps it up, but the rest of the night I could care less about. So that bumps it down.
You could care less about it? Then why don't you?
I couldn't care less.
He's working on it.
Thank you.
He's noticed some not caring potential, and he's going to explore that area.
And I almost gave
a little closer
a
to the mic, Earl. I'm just telling you. We can't hear you. We can't hear your gems, your comedic gems.
I almost gave NBC Saturday Nights a 0 out of 5, but they have Dateline. So we get child predators, you know, every other night.
There you go.
And you do have a little thing for Stone Phillips.
Yes. And I would like to...
Anyone named
once again,
after basic Earth elements.
Like I do every year of this show, because we're on our like 6th or 7th season now. I would like to ask Fox to cancel The War at Home, because it's killing their
bleed.
Sunday night lineup. Yes.
Jared?
I didn't use quite the complex formula that Adam did. I based it more on kind of the number of new shows I was adding and from which network they came. So I picked NBC. And all then right. closely followed by Fox. I watch a lot of Fox shows.
You do a lot. You like that sleazy, exploitive, when bears attack.
Pretty much.
Oh, that was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Sorry. My formula, as you guys pointed out earlier, I tend to do more of a studio-based formula rather than my personal, but I do actually have a personal pick as well. This year, I feel the strongest network lineup comes from CBS. I think with their CSI juggernaut within the addition of a few new shows, including Jericho, I think they're set pretty well to do Gangbusters again this year. I think Survivor will rejuvenate the reality show genre this year. I don't know about Amazing Race. They've been struggling in the last two seasons, so that might be an issue. But I think overall CBS is going to hold tight up there close to the number one spot. For me, I selected NBC as the strongest lineup this year just because of the Saturday Night Live behind-the-scenes shows and Heroes, which I have not mentioned, but I'm looking forward to that show as well. So I think there
you
go.
They can get out of the dumps.
Yep, absolutely. Let's get moving on to some fun categories, and then we'll wrap the segment up. We'll go quickly. Separated at Birth, new shows that rip off old shows. I select Jericho, CBS. I feel that's kind of a lost ripoff. Maybe not in exact plot, but definitely in thematic style. Mm-hmm. Jericho, we haven't described it, but what happens, Earl, is a nuclear bomb.
We don't know. A mushroom cloud
is seen. A mushroom cloud is seen in a small Midwestern town. Then all power and communication is cut off with this town, and then the town members must figure it out.
And they're going to pull that out for a whole season.
They say, and I think there's things tied into like prisons and prison breaks and all sorts of crazy
things. I'm sure that's not the only plot line. It's just the...
Yeah, that's kind of like Lost. The plane crashes, then what happens.
So. And then you have kind of carte blanche.
I just go with trigger effect and take care of the business.
There you go. Earl's got to figure it out.
Take care of the business.
Jared, you're separated at birth.
I got a few of them here. You could go with the obvious picks, which are like Kidnapped and Vanished, which are, you know, taking off of the 24, Prison Break, your serial dramas. But also I picked Justice, which seems to be kind of a ripoff of every legal show that's ever happened with CSI thrown in for good measure.
There you go.
Justice reminded me a lot of that the summer Law and Order that they did a couple years ago where, like,
it was real.
Yeah, it's more documentary style. I liked it a lot.
Good show.
But it's more documentary style instead of this where it's just dramatic. But it's very similar.
Yep.
And I would maybe watch any show with Victor Garber in it, except I hate legal shows. So, sorry, Justice.
Yep, goodbye. Adam?
I have two. Daybreak, which is just like the movie Falling Down. So I cheated a little bit. I went with a movie.
Ripping a movie separated at birth.
Yeah. Falling Down being the Michael Douglas movie where he, you know, kind of just goes nuts.
He gets a crew cut.
He's mad as hell and he's not going to take it.
Can't get his breakfast after 11 or whatever.
And The Nine, which looks a lot like kind of a mix between Lost and 24 because it's not real time like 24 is, but it's kind of similar. And
so the pitch is you mix Lost and 24 together and you get The Nine.
Right.
Half of the number and twice the fun.
I don't get that math.
I think overwhelming that there's a whole lot of serial dramas this season.
What about, just to get in your opinion, would you consider Heroes and Smallville separated at birth?
I don't watch Smallville, so I don't know. Adam?
Well.
Jared?
I mean, maybe. But, I mean, Smallville, it's you know, very acute what it's covering. It's just Superman.
Yeah.
Whereas, I mean, then you could say every comic book, you know, every Marvel comic book is really just a ripoff of you know, Superman.
Well, there was that one other show that was on a few years back that was like the X-Men, but it was called something else. I can't think of the name of it.
The Z-Men.
Yeah, the Z-Men.
I think Heroes is going to be even a more realistic portrayal. Yeah. I mean, Smallville isn't really that realistic.
What I've seen from Heroes, it seems to me to be like an M. Night Shyamalan take on superheroes, where it's very hyper-realistic.
It's like Unbreakable, the TV
Unbreakable,
show.
Kind of, but with more superheroes. That's kind of the impression I'm getting. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong.
I hope it's like that. Otherwise, because it's like, just put it on the Sci-Fi Channel if it needs to be
what happens if people develop superheroes in the real world.
Yeah.
I think that's got to be the angle on that show. Let me see a couple more categories. Established shows that we will start watching this season for the first time. Jared, do you have anything?
I do. The obvious choice that everyone has heard me talk about already is Veronica Mars. I've been watching season one on DVD, and if Netflix ever gets me disc one of season two, I'll watch that. But I'm also going to try The Amazing Race.
How long will it take until Veronica Mars is downgraded as a planet?
Clever.
Thank you.
I think it actually qualifies under the new rules.
I'm glad you'll be watching Amazing Race. You will not regret it. Adam?
Like I said earlier, maybe Survivor. Grey's, which I watched, Grey's Anatomy, I watched over the summer.
Yep.
So, or, you know, because I downloaded all the first two seasons, so I'll probably start watching that. Gilmore Girls, I might, if there's nothing, I forgot to look what else is on there, but just to kind of support Veronica Mars.
Sure.
And maybe How I Met Your Mother.
Anything, Earl?
Everything I like got canceled.
Okay. Electro Woman, Dinah Girl, still reeling over
that. No. Like Dark Place, that got canceled, but nobody knows what that is.
So. I don't know what that is.
Nope. No.
Nothing.
Does.
Earl, no television for you.
I'll try the Heroes show.
Okay, give it a go.
All right.
The show that I will start watching will be Veronica Mars, but I will not start watching it. I'll just say that I will start watching it.
You'll just record it and let it sit there.
But I hear it's good. I hear it's good.
You do have the season one DVD.
I do have it. I don't have season two, so that hurts.
I don't think or it just came out.
Just
right?
came out. Yeah. Best NFL graphics package, Jared.
Just on a quick review, I like NBC. I like what they're doing. I don't like Fox is what they're doing. I'm not sure I like ESPN. CBS is classic, but a little stale.
Adam?
I really like the new ESPN one. If no one's seen it, it's their...
Centered.
Yes, it's...
A little
it's
widget.
Like a, it's yep. like a little... Yeah, exactly. It's a little oval that's at the very bottom of the screen, and that's it. They don't have the usual ESPN scrolling ticker running all the time, you know, with all the scores and everything. It's just very simple, and it's clean, and you can actually see a larger portion of the screen. I kind of like it.
I select CBS just because it's classic, and I don't like the new looks of the other things. So there you go.
As far as I'm concerned, nothing to beat those big gridiron robots running across the screen a few years back.
I think that, and they're still there also.
Are they? Wow.
Yes.
Lots
okay.
of robots.
So we're going to rush this along with a contest. First canceled show. We are all going to make our selection of what's going to be canceled first. The winner gets a fantastic scope prize, which will be determined at a later date.
Carrie's t-shirt.
Carrie's t-shirt.
Whoa.
I will start it off.
Carrie's scope t-shirt.
There you go. Baby doll. So if you like baby doll, it's all yours.
Is it washed toward eBay standards?
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
The show that I'm selecting is something we've not mentioned the entire segment. It's a show called Happy Hour. It's on Fox Thursdays. Here's the plot. Henry Beckman left his ideal life in Missouri to move to Chicago with his girlfriend, Heather. But in the course of one morning, Henry loses his girlfriend, his apartment, and his job. In his vulnerable state, he meets his new roommate, the vain, flashy, and lovable rogue, Larry Cohn, and then goes to work for Larry's childhood friend. So there you go. That's my selection. Jared, pick.
I mentioned it already. The Knights of Prosperity. Get a tank right away.
Yep. Okay. Jared hates that show.
And I didn't even know about it until this morning, and I already have great dislike for it.
I'm with Jared on that one.
Okay, and Adam?
First, I'd like to say that Fox kept The Loop from last year, so there's no way they canceled that Happy Hour show, which they were already promoting. They were promoting it at the beginning of the summer. I remember seeing a commercial for it, so there's no way they canceled that.
Okay.
So you're going to lose. I picked Daybreak. It's up against Lost, so it has zero chance whatsoever.
Okay. So make sure you put this stuff on the internet so people can play along with us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I still put in a vote for the Gina Davis president show?
Absolutely.
All right.
You totally...
A posthumous vote.
Not a new show, and it's already off the air. But
so Earl wins.
Yay!
There we go.
I didn't know they kept yanking it and putting it back on.
Thank you very much, Adam. Thank you very much, Jared. Thank you very much, Earl. This has been the Fall 2006 Television Preview. Watch television at your leisure, but love every minute of it. So let's wrap this up. We'll move on to future bits in the scope. Thank you.
People are starting to talk about the scope. Even the upper crust of Hollywood has taken notice. Here's what the stars and starlets of Tinseltown are saying about our modest little podcast. Nicolas Cage.
If I didn't love you so damn much, I'd have to kill you, bro.
Brad Pitt.
See all this potential. I see a squander.
Sean Connery.
Personally, I think you're a f***ing idiot.
Thanks, famous people. Now, back to the scope. It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
Hit it!
This week I have a double dose of songs about snakes on a plane. Let's kick it off with Noodles with Teeth by Jenny's Midnight Screamatorium, followed by Snakes on a Plane by Dabney Ruggiero.
Alert air traffic control. There's snakes on that plane.
Did you say snakes on that train?
How stupid. Sneaking up a fat leg, rubbing up my luggage, clogging the drain. Snakes on a plane. Got a couple footballs full of champagne. Baby, call a doctor like a snake on a brain. Tearing up a tote bag, biting for a seatbelt. Snakes on a plane. Snakes are insane. Oh, better than snakes on a train. Couple months soda, choking on a cobra. Got a naked buffet, snakes are okay. Got a bag of peanuts, snakes are amina. Got a bowl of cocaine, it's a snake on a plane. Took my little Brady to the county fair. Ate a few snakes and a jet roll player. Snakes went and ate all my underwear. God, I hate these fucking snakes.
Rather than the earth, I would go down. Snakes don't get on the way down.
Look, you got my cookies, don't jerk me around. Snaggy, snaggy, no worries, I can't believe I paid for headphones. Can you believe that shit? $4 fucking. Now I'm dead. Wow, fucking snake. God damn it, jerk. Get me away from them snakes.
Snakes on a plane. Snakes on a plane. Samuel L. Jackson, stupid idea. Samuel L. Jackson, stupid idea. What was he thinking? Stupid idea. His agent is stupid, stupid as hell. Snakes on a plane. Snakes on a plane. Snakes on a plane. Snakes on a plane. Samuel L. Jackson, stupid idea. Samuel L. Jackson, stupid idea. What was he thinking? Stupid idea. His agent is stupid, stupid as hell. Snakes on a plane. Snakes on a plane. Look out! Snakes on a plane. Snakes on a plane. I could have it all wrong. This could be the best movie ever.
You're listening to The Scope.
Under the Scope. It's time for Scope News. Adam, please take it away.
Oh, hello.
He's on top of it.
This guy is just on fire.
I was running
every
in,
week.
I was running in from the newsroom, so
hot off the wires.
Hey, you know, both of our stories this week come to us from the Wall Street Journal. Wall Street Journal, owned by the same company that Shane and I work for.
Yeah,
how about that?
But they should not know about the show because it could indict us in some
I really
nefarious
doubt
way. Okay,
I don't think nefarious.
Mm-hmm.
Nefarious.
You say nefarious, I say nefarious.
First story.
We'll look that up.
Everyone's probably heard by now, but we're still jumping on it. Tom Cruise released from his contract at Paramount Pictures. After a 14-year deal with Cruise's own production company, which, by the way, no one seems to understand who's actually being fired or released.
Yeah.
People just think, like, he's being fired from Paramount, or it's like... I don't think actors have worked for studios since like the 40s. Yeah.
So,
no one seems to understand. It's actually Tom Cruise's production.
Yeah, see,
company.
Tom Cruise, get off the lot. See,
Cruise Wagner production. You'll never work in this town again. See,
what are you saying?
I'm saying you'll never work in this town again.
What's the word on the street?
Blacklisting.
You're never working in this town. See.
I'm confused as
totally
why
broke
Chicago gangsters were in control. Like, it should have been a more Jewy voice.
Well,
not,
that's
not
your area.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You need
sorry
to be chiming
I
in.
I should have jumped into that one. It's kind of becoming big news because Sumner Redstone, the whatever chairman, I guess, of Paramount, owns...
The Grand Poobah.
Yes.
Adam, you never read news in this town again, see? You're finished. You're washed up.
Great. Very.
You sleep with the fishes, see?
Let's get new voices, guys.
Okay, I'm Adam.
That's a really good Adam voice.
He's mad he can't
anyway, Sumner Redstone, it's kind of become a big news story because he's made it kind of personal, saying, we don't think that someone who effectuates creative suicide and costs the company revenue should be on the lot. Of course, referring to the big losses with Mission Impossible 3, which made $153 million less than Mission Impossible 2. Also talking about his, you know, perceived not hotness anymore, because
nuttiness
of his right Scientology views and all
without
that
actually
stuff
saying Scientology.
Right. There's rumors that, Redstone feels that Cruise has lost his, you know, female appeal because his wife doesn't like, Tom Cruise anymore, which can't be confirmed. Okay. Or denied.
Isn't that amazing?
No more
$1 billion decisions made on
what his wife,
what
thinks
his wife.
Barometer of cool, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You heard it.
Some people are thinking it's actually turned out to be a good thing for Tom Cruise. He's, you know, going to take his own production company elsewhere, maybe just keep it independent and
get a fresh start.
Right. It's not like he's not going to have money to produce things. He's got his own money and all of his Scientologists.
Sequel to Battlefield Earth.
Coming out. I would like to point out that was actually not, he had nothing to do with that.
I know. Come on.
There is that Scientology connection.
Yeah, Battlefield Earth is the Scientology punch bag or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
What's a punch bag?
It's a bag that you punch, but there's something in the bag.
Right.
And what's in the bag?
Heads of Scientologists.
So it's kind of making big news in the industry. One high-placed exec at a rival studio said, it's disgusting. Sumner just wanted to show... Sumner just wanted to show how big his dick is. Tom has made hundreds of millions of dollars for Paramount. He's entitled to some respect.
Yeah, like 5 years ago, I went to these guys saying, Tom Cruise is the greatest actor on the planet.
I don't know that they said greatest actor, but biggest draw.
Yep. I'm just talking about these guys, man.
Yeah. Here today, gone tomorrow, Earl.
That's right.
You're glib.
And, well, speaking of that, oddly enough, someone that people would not expect to come to his aid has. Matt Lauer. Wednesday morning on the Today Show or whatever show he's on. He said
the Matt Lauer show.
Okay, yeah. Maybe he speaks out about Scientology and some people don't like that. But what about the stars who are in and out of rehab every other week? Is that any worse?
Oh, yeah.
And yet you find movie companies and studios still in business with them. So
that's
a good point.
Yeah.
Very good point.
Matt Lauer bringing a bit of class to the situation.
Yes.
Affirmative, Dr. Smith.
Right.
Story number two.
Other story, which relates to the songs that we just heard and one of the reviews we'll be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Bees on a plane.
Bees?
These are a real-life problem, and it's vexing some pilots. They like yellow.
What about crickets on a plane?
The color yellow. And jet fuel. And are riled up by the color black.
Mm-hmm.
These are, of course, Africanized
honeybees.
Much
like Earl.
Bees like jet fuel?
I don't know. I like the smell of fuel. So, I mean,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
I can see. Maybe that's what they like. I like to huff it, I guess you could say. these are Africanized honeybees affecting mostly airports in the Southwest.
Yep.
Apparently, this is like a huge thing where they kind of fly in to the cabins and they just almost take over.
Yep. And nest and...
Yes, and there's it's a big industry out there now. We're coming in and pumping the place full of insecticide and killing them all and... Got to do it every few months for all planes that frequent the Southwest, which is a
lot
of planes.
Holy cow. I never knew that.
How easy do you think it would be for Sam Jackson to use a spear gun to kill bees on a plane?
or a taser?
Yeah.
Or a normal gun?
This ties into the movie I got for a wedding present called The Swarm.
There you go.
Where bees come and just attack everybody, and only Michael Caine can stop them.
But Kenny...
I don't know. I haven't watched it
yet.
I don't think there's enough Michael Caine to go around to all the southern airports and take care of the bee problem.
No.
There's a lot of Michael Caine, though. I just want to make that clear.
He's been in a lot of movies.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
so there you go.
That'll hopefully not turn into a movie, but who knows.
But the funny part is, if you made a movie, everybody said, that's the stupidest thing ever. But you'd be like, look, torn from the headlines.
Exactly. I'm sure someone in Hollywood
is pitching that bees have been infesting airports in the South.
When they saw how little money it made, I don't think that they'll be a secret.
They probably looked at, you know, snakes on a train and bees on a plane. And they said, let's go with snakes on a train. But now they're wishing they had done bees on a plane.
Exactly. Ripped from the headlines.
Speaking of killer animals... Let's do some reviews.
Most creative segue ever.
no idea what that meant.
We've got some reviews to do. Before we pass the review baton over to Adam, I got to give everyone out there the scope score. We call a review system the scope score. It's a scale ranging from 0 stars to 4 stars.
Shane, I want you to read it even more apathetic.
Oh. I'll read it like the host of Rockstar. It has to be truly terrible for that score to get 0 to a perfect score of 4, which has to be fantastic.
Great job, Shane.
Thank you.
Let's review some stuff.
What is going to be our first review today?
Well, the sheet says Prison Break, but I don't know. Maybe we want to do Snakes on a Plane.
No.
Prison Break it is.
Okay. Oh, right. I bet technologically, we probably want Prison Break to go first.
To tie into our fall TV
spectacular. I don't know if you guys knew, but the second season of Prison Break kicked off right where the finale of season 1 left off.
What?
The cons have escaped, and Michael Scofield's incredibly elaborate plan has started to unravel. Instead of flying away, they're forced to get away on foot. But of course, Michael has a plan for that too. William...
it involves his brother losing 20 pounds of mass between seasons.
Yeah, you noticed that too?
Yeah. He's a little thinner.
Yeah. Well, you know, prison food is kind of bulk. It bulks you up a little
I guess
bit.
So. He shed it all in half an hour, apparently.
Made of flour.
I wouldn't want to be near that pile.
William Fichtner, who was on Invasion. He was like the main guy in Invasion last year. He's been in a million
character
different
actor.
Shows. Character actor, yes.
Sunken Eyes.
For some reason, reminds me of Peter Coyote, but I don't know why, because apparently that's not
reminds me of Wile E. Coyote.
Okay. Yeah. He joins the show as Special Agent Alexander Mahone. Mahoney? Let's go with Mahoney.
Good.
Because now we got
oh, Mahoney.
Of,
see,
but I'm getting a prison breaker. See,
we have a lot of Police Academy jokes we can make now, so I'm excited about that. He joined the cast and promptly figures out that
cauliflower.
Michael's entire plan is mapped out on his massive body tattoo.
DOC's still doing a sweep of Oswego, but the guys have basically vanished.
I wouldn't be so sure about that, Mr. Ives.
I don't know how you can be so confident. It's not like these guys left a map where they're going.
Actually, that's exactly what they did.
Da, da, da.
Schofield had the entire thing on his body. How to get out of that prison, how to disappear afterward. It's all there.
He's got a tattoo, see? It's on his body, see?
I like that they're using the exact same faux dramatic music that they did last year. In fact, they could have upgraded that a little bit.
Wow.
Meanwhile, now
at the Batcave,
we see that the now one-handed Teabag, because if everyone remembers, he his name actually Theodore Bagwell, I think, is his real name, but we'll go with the
right.
anyway, he got his hand cut off in the season finale last year. So
he loves Earl Grey.
He's still alive, and he's trying to get a veterinarian to reattach his missing hand.
I'm sorry, sir. I don't think I can do this. The nerves. Look. You need a specialist. Okay? You need somebody who knows what they're doing. I don't have the luxury of choice here, Doctor. My hand has been in that box for hours now. It is dying. Sir, I am not capable of doing this.
Dying.
I only have one hand. I can stick this in your neck before you get to that door. Now, if that's not incentive enough for you, I see that you have a Mrs. Goudat out there with a name like that in a county like this. Old Mrs. Goudat would not be too hard to find now, would she?
And you say the shows dying. I watch are terrible. Come
By
on.
The way, remember when he was like a racist in the first season? Now he's going to an Indian guy to he's the worst racist.
The show's falling apart.
When someone chops your hand off,
racism, as you pointed out earlier.
When someone chops your hand off, though, I think you're willing to take chances on someone of a different race.
Clearly, you've never seen Oz.
Maybe they should have had a subplot where you got a flashlight in his eyes and he's blind and he doesn't know the guy's Indian.
his accent's not giving it away.
Anybody can talk like that.
Actually, you'll find out in the next episode that the doctor reattaches a horse's hoof instead.
Crazy.
I'd go for a cat claw so I could fight the caps off.
Give me a kitty.
He attaches a tea kettle.
Give me a kitty paw. I'll get Mrs. Goudat.
I'm sick of us already.
He can't wait to get through this.
I just don't understand how attaching a cat's hand to a man's wrist would make any sense.
Oh, how about a lion's
size
paw?
Size discrepancy.
Lion's paw.
I don't think he would have access to a lion's paw.
What about just a receptacle for multiple tools, like the guy from
Inspector Gadget?
What if he did like Enter an octopus dragon. Tentacle and strangled people?
What if they attached a train to it and there were snakes on that train?
You could just shoot them out the front.
Anyway, we do get updates about some of the other remaining characters. Veronica dies, which
by the way,
I thought they renewed her.
Spoiler alert!
It's a review of a show that was on last Monday.
No, the joke was I'm saying spoiler alert after your spoiler.
Oops, seen it.
you don't watch the show.
Okay,
I'm happy she died. By the way,
shot in the
terrible,
head. Terrible, terrible.
Bellick is still an asshole. He's the main guard guy. Yep. Who, by the way, he's a guard, but he's heading up the search for him.
They've got plans for that, Adam.
Dr. Tancredi is still alive, but hospitalized after her overdose and is under investigation now for leaving the door open that the escapees used to get out. So that's what happened.
Okay, and what did you think of the show, Adam?
I was not a fan of this episode. I liked the show last year, and you know it requires a huge suspension of disbelief, which I don't really have a problem doing.
And you told me after every episode last year, you'd say, Shane, it just gets crazier.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to believe it even less.
Yeah.
And that was
practically see it. Next episode, they escape on a plane and there's a bunch of snakes on it.
Right. Right. They have rocket packs.
But
see?
I was not... I didn't like this episode. And I mean, I could probably go back now and actually watch ones from last season and probably say I didn't like them either. But I think as a whole, it's still appealing to me because it's just serial drama. So
absolutely.
And it's about running and, you know, fun stuff. But yeah, I mean... It's frustrating beyond belief, but I'll keep watching.
All right, Jared.
I like the show. I've liked it since the beginning. I don't care how crazy it gets. So I really enjoyed this episode. I'm really happy to have the show back. The I think that the FBI guy figured out the whole tattoo thing a little too quickly. Right. I mean, they could have drawn that out for a couple more episodes. And it kind of amazes me that with all the people who had a chance to look at it while he was in prison, nobody really figured out that maybe there was something hidden there.
Absolutely.
But overall, I really like the show. I'm happy that they killed off, what's her name, whatever.
Veronica.
Yep. That storyline had nowhere to go at this point. And I'm happy that the Dr. Tancredi didn't die.
Exactly.
Because she's pretty.
Yeah. Even though she's got some crazy eyes.
One of the problems of going last when we do these reviews, it's like you guys steal all my copy, and I have absolutely nothing to say.
Here, I have a fact you can use.
Okay, where's that fact?
Interject facts in your
opinions. Down. The ratings are down 11% from last year's premiere. 10.5 million viewers versus 9.3. So there you go.
I don't think it was hyped nearly as much.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess all I can say is I'm pro of octopus tentacles on Teabag, and I hope to see that next episode. But seriously, folks, I still enjoyed the show, even though it was very unrealistic. And I'm in. I'm in for the long haul, so there we go.
Good.
Give it a score.
Oh, yeah, I should tell you. I'm not prepared. Damn it. Ah.
You're always so professional.
The score is 2.75 stars.
So about where it should be, I think.
I would go higher, but it's an amalgamation of all of us.
Exactly. Speaking of amalgamations, Adam.
Right. Speaking of words I don't know the meaning of.
Let's maybe you could correct me on pronunciation. Plane.
No.
Even I know that word.
Wow. Get close to that mic and say it again, Earl.
Even I know that word.
Excellent. We don't believe you.
Next review is for...
Snakes on a Plane.
Stop playing footsie with me, sorry, dude.
Do it.
Our other review this week is for the eagerly anticipated, quote-unquote, horror film, Snakes on a Plane. The plot is simple enough. No?
No, it is. I'm just... Is it? I don't know. I wrote that with...
You have it all the way down here.
Yeah, I know. That's okay. Kind of irony.
What's going on here?
I don't know.
Sorry. Terrible. Go ahead. Keep reading.
Should I?
Yep.
A man is witness to a murder by... Well, okay. This is really going to complicate the plot because it's not really that simple. A man is witness to a murder by crime lord...
Eddie Kim.
Right. Why is it not... And FBI agent Neville Flynn, played by superstar Samuel L. Jackson, must protect the witness until he can get to L.A. from Hawaii to testify. Hellbent on killing the guy... Eddie Kim concocts a slightly insane plan of releasing drug-crazed snakes on a plane at 35,000 feet.
We're going to put snakes on that plane, see?
Of course, it wouldn't be a horror movie without all sorts of stereotypical characters. In this case, airline passengers and former ER cast members. And when they find themselves in the middle of the angry snakes, chaos ensues. Can Agent Flynn calm them down?
We're all dead.
Not me. It's my job to handle life and death situations on a daily basis. It's what I do, and I'm very good at it. Now, you can stand there and be the panicked, angry mob and blame him, me, and the government for getting you into this. But if you want to survive tonight, you need to save your energy and start working together.
Not me.
I'm going to go hang out in the dumbwaiter.
Very Passenger 57. Our Snakes on a Plane review wouldn't be complete without Sam Jackson's line, first created by internet nerds and later filmed for the movie just to make them happy. Listen up.
Enough is enough! I have had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane!
That you will see! My name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon you.
See?
See?
So, does the crime lord succeed in the end? How many different areas of the human body can crazy snakes sink their fangs into?
Everyone.
And can Sam Jackson's career survive this?
Yes, even the naughty bits.
Find out on Snakes on a Plane.
Jared, Snakes on a Plane.
Yes.
Will you be boarding that flight?
You know, I was excited to see it, and I was happy when it was over. It was not the best movie of the year. No, that's not that came out wrong. I wasn't happy when it was over. When the movie was over... I was happy for having seen the film. It is what it is. I don't think that you're going to see too many surprises. There'll be some genuine, I don't know. There's a lot of snakes. There's a lot of action. Honestly, I thought that the whole Sam Jackson MF line, it seemed out of place to me. Because,
yeah.
I mean, maybe it's just because I was expecting it. Maybe it was
they
because...
They went back and refilmed that line just for the movie.
I know, but overall, you know, it seemed out of place because there really wasn't a lot of swearing in the movie. Yeah. Even for an R-rated movie... People didn't really swear. All of a sudden, you got him dropping F-bombs. It's like, okay, it makes you wonder a lot of place.
It makes you wonder if internet nerds wanted him to say something like, hey, we should stop by Walmart today if they would have filmed that for it.
They wanted something from Pulp Fiction because everybody always goes back to I think the movie could have done better had they went with a PG-13 rating.
There you go.
I think the R rating hurt its box office sales. I saw it twice, and both times parents had to bring their kids in there. This is something kids want to see.
Mm-hmm, they do.
As well as goons like us.
Goons. Anything else to add, Jared, in your
Apparently not, Earl's taking the mic.
Goons!
No, but I just say overall, I think you get what you expect. It's not a great movie. It's not a bad movie. It's entertaining.
It's a fun movie.
It is a fun movie.
Adam?
While I agree with all that, my biggest problem with it is, you know, because I try to base the reviews, like movie reviews, on, you know, spending whatever, $8.50. So I spent $8.50 to see it.
Your pretend $8.50.
But the problem is that all of the actual entertainment came from the six other people I saw the movie with.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, we were just talking the whole time and laughing because of things we were saying about the movie. Not that the movie was actually all that, because, like, it wasn't all that campy. I mean, it was there were terrible acting. Mm-hmm. It was phenomenal. But, I mean, just seeing that with even just one, just, you know, like, just seeing it as, you know, a duo, you're not going to, it's not going to be that as fun. That was my problem with it. Like, it wasn't even that gory or that
terrible
over
special
the top.
Effects.
They were terrible. Do we really? Snake Vision was just stupid.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The
why
effects
they did
were
that.
Much better than they were in the trailer, though. They had definitely gotten further along with
that. You know, it was funny. I got the Snakes on a Plane Circuit City making of, and I was actually sitting there watching it going, cause they still haven't perfected CGI snakes. I'll fully admit that.
And I that, teams have been working on that
a
for
lot
years.
Of the snakes,
yeah, that's
a
like
lot
the Holy
of the
Grail
that
of
you
effects.
Saw that you thought were CGI were actually real.
Yeah.
Lucas wanted snakes in the Star Wars trilogy, but
that'll be in the next release when he wants to change.
Oh, here we go. Politicalizing.
Let's get going.
So, Adam.
And I also think it's weird that no one's mentioning Julianna Margulies is in this movie because Julianna Margulies.
Stop reading my notes.
You thief.
Anyway.
Yes.
Okay, so you're done?
I'm done.
I don't know if we should let Earl wrap this up or if we should throw him in and then I could yell at him and he can yell at me. I don't know.
You go. I'm here to comment, so I'm the conscientious objector.
I kind of agree. I agree.
This is Vietnam.
I agree with Adam and I agree with Jared. Kind of sums up everything that I think about the movie. I went into it. I kind of felt like I knew what to expect. I got what I expected. I was kind of hoping it would surprise me in other ways, whether they find a tone in the movie, whether it be campy or be realistic. You know, as realistic as you can be.
When that snake bit the guy's cock, they should have showed the cock.
Yeah, I mean, they should have
go all out.
Yeah. It just was like, it didn't quite know the tone it needed to take. And I think that hurt it a little bit. Also, I agree with what Earl said about it being an R movie. You know, I think that the players that be really thought that if they could just go all the way with it with this R rating, it was going to distract all these people. And probably it hurt them. I think it hurt them.
I think, well, if you're going to go R-rated, go R-rated.
Yeah, it should have been
have
hard,
more blood,
no,
have more
hard,
sex, yeah. have, I mean, just go all out. Don't.
Well, I think some of the gore, I mean, it was not a lot, but the quick bits you got were pretty intense. I remember seeing people in the audience cringing at some pieces.
But the problem with snakes is that snakes can't chop off your head.
No.
You know, I mean,
no,
snakes can bite you and put two holes in you, or they can scare you and you can fall over a balcony or something like that. But, I mean, really, it's not like you've got a tiger attacking you or you've got a big Jason attacking you.
Tigers on a plane.
Tigers on a plane.
Look,
tigers on your hand.
Wolves on ski lift, gorillas on a fire truck, and chickens on a tractor.
There we go, chickens on a tractor.
But this was more not gore, but more just gross stuff. Like just seeing all the people reacting from snake bites.
Yeah.
Like the kid when they cut open his arm and that pus just leaked out. It was like, bah! You know, you didn't want any Carmellos during that part.
No, Adam brought up Julianna Margulies. I want to remind everyone that her last major role was a killer part in The Sopranos. So you go from The Sopranos to Snakes on a Plane.
Which came first, though?
Yeah. I don't know. I like her. So, you know, maybe she thought that this movie was going to be something special and didn't quite turn out. Or maybe she just
needed
a paycheck.
Snakes on a Plane! How can you not like it?
The only thing that I do think the movie did really well was they really captured the spirit of an 80s action movie.
Yeah.
Down to the music, down to how it all, the movie sort of unfolded. I think that if they could have played that angle the entire way, it would have been a much more successful movie. The problem is I think it also would have isolated the fans and the people that go see it, because a lot of people wouldn't understand that. Kind of like the end of Adaptation, that movie, when they kind of went into the stereotypical action scene. I don't know if you guys remember that movie.
I couldn't. That's, it's really strange that I couldn't finish it, but I hated that
movie. But yeah, it really kind of turned into stereotype, and that's what this movie was, in my opinion. And they could have been better if they would have went that direction.
Maybe that's why.
Go ahead, Earl.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm going to let you in because we're going to try to wrap this up and
well,
move on.
I think
on
that's why I liked it so much, because it was just a fun movie, and I haven't seen a fun movie in a long time. A lot of movies today try to be so pretentious and realistic, and you know, it's like when I heard what Prison Break was about, I'm just like, geez, they blamed snakes on a plane. I gotta start watching Prison Break.
I think you might have to. Just since we're over time, I have to say this or ask you this question, Earl. True or false? As we walked out of the movie, did you or did you not say this movie avoids all cliches?
It, considering how many cliches. No, wait. Adam's laughing.
Adam doubled over in laughter. He's actually looking at his shoes.
Here's the thing. Adam hates movies unless they're pretentious.
No, I don't. I like shitty movies like a lot.
Like what?
It has to have some entertainment value. Like what?
Give me some.
I talked about how I was watching Lost Boys today.
Delicatessen.
Yeah, you did bring that up.
You did. That's true. But you didn't bring it on yet. You didn't bring it on yet, so it's not.
Okay, how about we're buddies? Every David Spade movie. How about that?
Oh. Because
those are terrible, but they're hilarious to me.
Well, what I'm saying, I've seen a lot of low-budget films where they just drive on cliche.
Mm-hmm.
And this one had cliche in the beginning to set up, but in most films... See, the characters kind of change in film. They all get together and stop the snakes. In other films, they would have all stayed the characters through the entire film, even at unrealistic points. And that's the point I'm making.
Right. Okay. Because the annoying British guy wasn't an annoying British guy the entire time.
He got eaten by a snake. He couldn't continue.
Which is a movie cliche. The bad guy gets it. The dog gets it. They have sex in the bathroom.
No. The dog, I was surprised, got it, because it is a movie law. You cannot kill kids, and you cannot kill
dogs. This is true.
Dogs.
Remember in Independence Day when the dog lives, and
that dog,
a million people died, and everyone in the audience cheered?
Well, I stand
the dog.
Oh, I tell you,
forget human peril. Yeah.
I
want
hated
dogs
the scene
to be
in
safe.
That tunnel, where it's all blowing up, and the dog in front of the CGI graphic flying across the screen to safety. It's just like, this is the crappiest film I ever sat through.
And that was our review for Independence Day.
I got up and went to the bathroom.
Very
and I,
nice.
I'll pee my pants before I leave a theater movie.
And speaking of using the bathroom, let's give this a score.
Oh, goodness.
It's a much better transition.
Thank you.
The Scope score is 2.25 stars.
So it gets some credit for being campy, being what it is, but no more than that.
Earl, where do you rank this film in the year of film so far?
You know, I originally said best film of the year. But then I remembered I saw United 93.
Wow.
And that's best film.
So close second to United 93.
Yeah, and number three is, I can never pronounce the name of it, but Talladega Nights.
Talladega Nights.
Bobby Ricky.
Bobby Ricky.
Bobby Ricky. Or is it Ricky Bobby?
We'll
it's whatever you want.
Though.
It's that Will Ferrell vehicle.
Very good.
Another movie that avoided all cliches. That was sarcasm, by the way.
Oh.
You can laugh now. Thank you.
Let's find out what's coming soon. Start talking, Adam.
Off the rails.
So music.
Start
first.
Talking, see?
Yep.
This Tuesday, August 29th, Bob Dylan has a new album. Bob Dylan, a Jew that pretends not to be a Jew.
And has claimed that nothing good quality music has not been produced for the last 20 years.
Right.
Doesn't he look like...
including his own, apparently.
Vincent Price, yes.
He looks creepy nowadays.
Right, because he used
he's
to look
the
hot.
He looks like that one guy that played Vincent Price in that movie.
I don't know.
Waiting for Guffman. Never mind.
Keep going, Ed.
Were you going to say Waiting for Guffman?
No.
Okay. I was like,
got to talk into the mic, girl.
Jessica Simpson has a new album coming out called Public Affair. That's exciting. Yes. And Pete Yorn, that Nightcrawler album, was moved from August 9th because too many people heard that it was about Nightcrawler, so they moved it back a little bit, I guess.
Good for them. They actually wanted to put the Nightcrawler references in there to try to sell.
Right. That's how much impact that this show has.
It's the internet buzz.
The following Tuesday, September 5th, Audio Slave has a new album. So you can hear more shitty mid-90s rock recreated by... You know.
They tend to have maybe one or two decent songs per album, and the rest of it's all filler.
Yeah. And I really like Chris Cornell.
He's a fantastic singer, but he's better doing his own stuff than he is.
I agree. Whitest Boy Alive... rap group, perhaps? What? I don't know who that
indie
is.
Indie something band. Yep. Okay.
And Beyonce has a solo
Crickets.
Album.
But no Destiny Child album yet?
Nope.
No,
they're done. Solo.
They're done.
Oh. Beyonce got too big for it.
That was just the booty. Films.
And film. This coming Friday, right? Or is this Wednesday? No, Friday. Crank. Hitman. Jess hated this preview we saw, by the way. It's hilarious. Hitman, played by Jason Statham?
Thraffs.
Whatever.
The transporter.
The transporter, yeah. He's basically playing the same guy again. Goes on an adrenaline rampage after discovering he's been poisoned and only has 24 hours to cure himself or die trying.
Escape from New York.
Reminds me of one of the very few X-File episodes I've ever seen where there's this couple and they need to drive from the East Coast to the West Coast. Like, they have to avoid the sun. I forget what it is, but if they stop...
Oh, they're racing the sun.
Well, they have to get there. They have to keep moving west or else they'll die. Oh, or one of them will die.
And that was a good episode.
Yeah. It's the only one I remember.
Crappy remake of Vanishing Point.
Is that the second Vanishing Point reference you've had today?
No, this is the first one.
Okay.
Also that Friday, The Wicker Man, mainland sheriff, played by Nick Cage.
Takes place completely in Pier 1 Imports.
Patrolling a nearby...
I thought that was a good one.
No, I don't know what it meant.
You have nothing but wicker at Pier 1.
Patrolling... Oh, Wicker Man, yes.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Patrolling a nearby island, gets caught in a tragic accident involving a mother and her young daughter. The island community offers little in the way of help, but even this is a really boring summary.
I can
summary.
Help, but it's a nice remake of a 70s film, and what's ironic...
Vanishing Point.
No, they already remade that with Viggo Mortensen, and then when he got big in Lord of the Rings, they were like, no. What's funny is The Wicker Man, because, you know, today you got to remake every film. It's a remake, but it actually looks like a faithful remake. And the funny part is the director of the original is doing a reimagining of his own film. You'd think that'd be backwards.
I don't even get it.
No.
Weird. Kind of like Sam Raimi authorizing a remake of Evil Dead?
Yeah.
What else is coming out, Adam?
Weird.
Following Friday, September 8th, The Covenant. Four powerful young men.
The craft for girls.
Right. It's the craft for boys.
No, but it's remade for girls.
But it's for boys.
But the guy, it's, yeah.
Earl likes boys.
The boy version of The Craft. So four young men. Yeah,
for eunuchs.
It's about witches. Oh, sorry, warlocks. Whatever boy witches are called. And also Hollywoodland. Private detective played by Adrian Brody is investigating the mysterious death of George Reeves, the guy who played Superman.
We might actually have a good Superman movie this summer.
Wow. If we had time, we'd fight about it, but we don't.
Right.
Too bad it's out in September.
Mm-hmm. Ben Affleck. It's still technically summer.
I know. Seasonally speaking, but as far as Hollywood cares.
I'm hoping very much because I don't hate Ben Affleck like everyone else does. I'm hoping that he gets good reviews.
I think it's good casting. Earl will disagree.
You might have convinced me since I've watched a little more and you made your comments.
Since that rusty trombone incident.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Wow.
On DVD next Tuesday, the first season of The Tick finally comes out. I can get rid of my terrible eBay VCDs.
Will you be buying that this Tuesday?
I will not be. I will be stealing it, copying it.
I hope the show doesn't get too big, Adam, because you're going to the slammer.
I'm just lying. Arrested Development season 3.
Yep. Or final season.
Final season. Aquila and the Bee, which overlooked at the box office, but I would like to see it. It is on my Netflix queue. Okay. Pretty in Pink, the Ducky edition. Mm-hmm. So, hey, good thing I was talking about him earlier.
Foreshadowing.
This one's for Carrie.
Because she loves that movie, so I thought I'd put it in for my beautiful wife.
Who doesn't listen to the show? Excellent.
New Hotness coming soon.
And then the following Tuesday, September 5th, Lost season 2. Was that 1 week before the premiere or the week of the premiere?
No, it's because it doesn't premiere till October, I think.
Yeah, it's October, okay. So they're letting you...
Gives you a couple weeks to watch it.
And United 93, the uplifting summer movie.
We'll number one movie of the summer for Earl. Number two, Snakes on a Plane.
It will probably sell zero copies. I'm sorry. It's one of those movies that's important. You should see it, but...
It's depressing.
You don't want to watch it again.
Like Schindler's List.
Yeah, the very end of that movie, you're just like,
Anyway. Yeah.
Way to end it on a down note, everybody.
Big down note.
All right. Woo-hoo. Coming soon is over.
Yes.
Under the scope. Jared, take us through this segment.
It's going to be a short one.
Hello. Oh, no.
That was weird. Even the music doesn't want to participate.
It's going to be a short one, and we're done.
Well, nobody took me up on the contest yet, so...
My friend Mike, he will be writing something.
Okay.
Just repeat. We'll go over that. The contest is 150 words or less, saying how you are the Scope's number one fan. And you'll get a prize of indeterminate specification, because we haven't figured it out yet.
Carry Scope t-shirt. Doll.
Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah.
One. We'll cut
we'll
it.
Sharing give it up. Yeah.
All right. It's like the Stanley Cup. It just rotates.
I'm just going to roll through the few comments we got on the blog. Nikki said, congrats on the milestone 10th episode. Good show, even if it brought back scary memories of the Rose. And yeah, we won't go there anymore. It was great to hear Carrie on the show, too. Jess writes in to say, I give this particular episode 1/4 star. Jess, apparently not a fan of that show. And Josh writes in and says, wow, you didn't even mention me. That's mean. Who's Josh? Does anyone know who Josh is?
I assumed it was
Someone from the cabin?
Teddy Max. That was my assumption, but... Or, yeah, someone from the cabin, I mean.
Oh, yes. He is from the cabin. That's Josh? Right. Yes, Josh is...
You didn't speak about him.
He is apparently. He did upset. One of the... Sorry, Josh.
He listened to the whole show, the whole boring show, and he's like, I'm not even in this. Yeah. Josh, never listen again.
If you can come over here, Josh, you can be on the show.
There you go.
I'd like to point out we now have like 150,000 MySpace friends.
Well, not many. So. It is like
175,000.
We're working on it, though. And actually, Teddy wrote in. He wrote, says, funny show, very long, and that was my brother Max. Apparently disavowing himself of any sort of lack of knowledge. He wants it to know, be known that Max is the culprit.
Amelia Earhart.
Exactly. If you want to write in and you want to have one of your snarky comments read on the air by me, email at comments@thescopeshow.com or head on over to the website at thescopeshow.com.
Yep.
And comment.
Yep.
And you can also vote for us over at Podcast Alley or subscribe to us through the many links we have on the website or through iTunes. Everyone loves iTunes. I'll also mention that the Scope Sounds this week, we had two songs. One was from Jenny's Midnight Screamatorium. At myspace.com/Jenny's Midnight Screamatory.
Good
apparently
luck.
you ran out of letters at a certain point, so that's what you get. And Dabney Ruggerto is part of the Turn It Off stable of artists over at myspace/Turn It Off Productions.
That stable of artists growing and growing daily.
Exactly.
Turn It Off is a beautiful production company. There you go. Bringing music back to the people.
Bringing music back to the people.
That's all I have. Back to you, Shane.
Thank you very much. I think this wraps up episode 11 of our Scope Show. Our show.
Ooh, 11. Like two snakes next to each other.
Like two snakes.
Wow.
Or
snakes on a podcast.
Skinny people walking next to each
yes.
other.
So for all of us here, I'm going to send out some thank yous to all of us here. Adam, thank you for showing up. Earl, thank you for making busy time in your life to stop by and visit.
Any time for you, love bums.
Jared, thank you for making me sound great.
They like me more. I don't know what it is.
I'm going to thank myself because I am awesome.
Yeah, thanks for being here, Shane.
Thank you, Earl. No plugs today because we're running late. I'm assuming that...
Hells yeah.
But not too bad. We got some good stuff coming up in future shows. Football season starts, so yep. we're gonna mix up the schedule a little bit. But we'll not...
I think the release schedule will stay the same, right?
Yeah. But for us, you might sense a different vibe, so it's going to be exciting.
We'll be drunk.
You'll be drunk. And yeah, it'll be good stuff. Hopefully coming soon to your Scope Show, Tony Partington in studio, fingers
Ooh.
Crossed. And other great and fantastic things. So there we are. Let's wrap it up. Play some music. Scope, episode 11, 12 on the way. Enjoy.
If you're going to be in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area and would like to participate in a taping of The Scope, send your request to tickets@thescopeshow.com. Please mention in what special way you can contribute to the show.